As I mentioned briefly, we're delighted to have Peter Scontrino, my partner, my good friend, talk to us this morning about the continuous improvement process and how we can think about that and benefit not only our organizations, but those that we serve. So, Peter, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everybody. I've met a lot of you over in Cambodia. I'm Peter Scontrino. My training is, I have a PhD in industrial psychology. So I've been working my career as a management consultant, helping organizations, big and small, get better at what they're doing. Thank you for inviting me to this meeting. I enjoy chatting with you all. Today, we're going to be focusing on what you can do to help your organization become more effective and more productive. As Bill mentioned, we get used to doing things the way we do them. And some of the practices we have are not particularly efficient, but we do them because we're comfortable doing them. Today, I'm going to encourage you to step back and look at everything you're doing in your organization, thinking about the continuous improvement process and what you might do to help your organization improve. As Bill mentioned, continuous improvement process, I'll abbreviate it to CIP, has been shown to work in every organization, large organizations, small organizations. And it's actually been shown to work the best in service organizations like nonprofits. Because often we don't take the time to really analyze how we go about doing our work, so we end up missing improvement opportunities. I encourage questions as we're going through the presentation. We'll also have time for discussion after the presentation. Bill and I have mentioned this before, but we don't copyright any of our material. And we encourage you to share it with anyone you want to, with your husband, your wife, other people in your organization, other organizations. We're educators and we like to share our work. So our agenda is, we're gonna start by talking about what is the continuous improvement process, why use it, and then we're gonna look at sources of waste. Where do we have waste or wasted effort inside our NGOs? Continuous process improvement, or the continuous improvement process, it goes by both names, is an ongoing effort to improve processes and services by making small improvements in the work of an NGO. CPI is based on the belief that these small changes will add up to major improvements over time. And CPI makes each process more effective, efficient, and transparent. And organizations are full of processes for everything we do. Think about when you hire somebody. There may be 20 or 30 steps in that hiring process. Think about when you bring in a new garment that you're going to be sewing. There may be 15 or 20 steps in that process to decide how you're going to go about sewing that garment. When you ask someone to write a report, there are a number of steps involved in writing that report. Everything we do every day is part of a process. And our process can be really effective or it can be somewhat ineffective. Why use it? This is a proven approach that's used by large and small organizations throughout the world. It really got started with Toyota in Japan over 75 years ago, and Toyota continues to use process improvement today, and Toyota has shared what they've learned with organizations throughout the world. It generates hundreds of small improvements in any business, and it creates employee engagement by asking employees to use their brain and not just use their hands. And CPI helps create a culture of input and feedback. Our goal is to have each person feel like they own the work that they're doing and to look at that work very critically to see what they can do to improve that work. I was in a service organization recently, and when they would have someone who came in and needed some help, the person would fill out a form, give it to someone sitting in the front of the organization. It might sit there for 10 or 15 minutes. Then it would go to a manager. And if the manager was busy, it might sit there for half an hour. And then finally, it would go to someone who might be able to help the person. Well, the person might be sitting there for an hour just waiting for something to happen. And we began to study that. We found that the secretary, the person in front, knew who was busy and who wasn't busy, and that that person could immediately refer the client to someone inside the organization. End up saving a lot of time. And we see that repeated time and time again inside our organizations. So I'd like you to take the next 2 minutes to think about waste that might be in your NGO. Think about where you waste time. Where do you waste supplies? Where do you waste money? What are opportunities that you seem to miss? And just take, I'm not going to ask you to read these, but I just want you to have some record of what you see as waste in your organization. So if you'd please take 2 minutes and write down where you see waste, where you see things that could be improved to make your organization more effective. Okay, I hope you've written down at least 10 things. I was working with an NGO recently in America, and we were talking about waste, and the person I was working with took me over to a cupboard and opened it up, and the cupboard was full of printer cartridges. And I said, why are you showing me the printer cartridges? He said, because we bought a bunch of these cartridges, but we don't have the printers anymore. He said, we thought we needed to have a lot of cartridges just so people wouldn't run out. So my next question was, how long does it take you to get a printer cartridge? And he said, oh, no more than 4 hours. So I said, what kind of supply do you need to have then? And he said, well, maybe one. Not 20 or 30 or 40, just one. And those cartridges were all wasted money. So we're going to go through a number of wastes that are often found in service organizations. The first one is waiting. Well, we actually experienced that tonight. This morning. We were supposed to start at 10 a.m. We started about 10 after 10. I think there were 12 people waiting. Well, 12 people times 10 minutes is 120 minutes. That's 2 hours. So we had 2 hours of wasted time. Now think about the meetings you have in your NGO. How often do they start on time? And my experience and Bill's experiences in many organizations, they don't start on time. We wait for the last person to show up. Well, what if we changed our expectations and changed our culture and said, the meetings are going to start on time. And if there are two people there, we're going to start. I was working with one group. They were so bad about starting on time that I began to charge people $1 for being late. And I gave the money back to them afterwards. But the point was to make people aware that they were late. So where do we see waiting? A supervisor waits for her assistant to prepare some data that are required for to complete a report. Someone's waiting for job assignments or directions. Someone's waiting for information. Someone doesn't have enough work to stay busy. Or sometimes it takes too long to get approvals. So one of the things I'm going to ask you to do at the end of this session is go to the employees in your NGO and ask them where they see waste. And one of the areas I like to focus on is waiting. Next. Rework. Rework is when we do something more than once. So starting a job more than once because necessary information was not available. And if we started a second time or a third time, we waste time getting back up to speed. Redoing a task to fix errors. An employee is well-intentioned, but they're not well-trained. So they do something wrong, then you have to look at it and tell them how to do it right when it would have been much more efficient to train them before they started doing the work. Again, ask your employees, where do they see rework? Ask yourself, where do you do the work for other people and correct their mistakes when they could have corrected them themselves? Incomplete information. A form does not have complete and clear instructions, so many forms being received are filled out incorrectly. I'm going to Dallas, Texas next week for a meeting, and the hotel I'm staying at sent me information to fill out. It took me over half an hour to fill out all the information to stay at the hotel, and I'd already paid them, so I couldn't just cancel it and not do anything about it. But that was a big waste of my time. Incomplete instructions for completing the task. Do you have a form? Do you have a checklist? Do you have a template that people can use when they're doing a task? If we have incomplete drawings or incomplete schematics when we're building something, a school or a library or a computer center, do we have an incomplete list of needed materials and supplies that people need? There's a manager I know that loves going to the store and buying things. He thinks it's a nice break. But when he does that, it takes him at least an hour. So he's wasting an hour of the organization's time because he didn't order things in advance. Inefficient work areas. Look at the work area. Do things flow nicely through your office or do they go back and forth and back and forth? So often when Bill and I go in an organization, we see materials stored wherever they find room. We'll see along one wall, boxes of paper for the printer. I say, why do you have all those boxes, first of all? And secondly, it's not very orderly. If we have an inefficient work area, Time is wasted searching for materials. What does the top of your desk look like? Do you know where everything is? Can you put your finger on it right away? Or do you have piles stacked on your desk where when you're looking for something, you have to go through the piles to find what you want? Where do we have excess processing steps where they're really not needed? So we require two signatures to approve a project when we only need one. Or we're taking time for unnecessary reviews. And often it's because the person doing the reviews likes to do them, and they're not needed to have high quality work. Stockpiled materials and supplies. How about when we make too many copies of reports? We already talked about printer cartridges are purchased in bulk. Printers are replaced before all the cartridges are used. So do an inventory in your NGO. Where do you have materials and supplies? Some people like to have their own personal supply cabinet. When we don't need personal supply cabinets, we can just have one that can work for the entire organization. Excess services. Doing more work than required to complete the job. What is it that I'm supposed to do for this particular job? Whether it's writing a report or filling out a grant application. What about for my clients? How do I help my clients to have clear expectations of the services we provide? Otherwise, you can do what you think is a good job, and your client can leave your organization feeling like you didn't do a good job because they expected you to do something else. Process variation. Different staff use different procedures to complete the same job because they like to do it their own way. For almost any task in the organization, there are many ways to do it. Effective organizations identify one way to do the task and expect everybody to do it that way. Now, it's not that you're being a dictator. You can get input from people on how to do it, but once you agree on the way to do it, then everyone's going to do that. Transportation, moving files around, moving things from one stack on your desk to another stack on your desk, moving clients from one place to another place. Space. Things are scattered all over the office. Staff hold on to things they think might be needed someday, or the office needs better cleaning. And the work pace. It takes too long to complete tasks. Work standards are not developed or are not used. So these are all the wastes that we see in every organization, including service organizations. So what can we do to improve things? First is to begin to change your culture where you get everybody focused on continuous process improvement as part of their job. And what if you had all of your employees meet to discuss the questions of where they see waste in the organization? Here's an agenda for that meeting. You can use this slide deck to define process improvement, review the 12 wastes, then take post-it notes and have each person write out the wastes they see in the organization, one waste per post-it note. Collect the ideas and talk about them, have someone take notes, put the post-it notes up on a whiteboard or blackboard, then decide which waste to focus on. Then take action. Put a plan together to address that waste. Then, very importantly, once a quarter, send a note to all employees identifying the waste that you all have identified and improved, and repeat this process improvement meeting each year. there's a great reference. The Basics of Process Improvement by Tristan Boutros and Jennifer Cardella. Now, actually, how much waste is in your organization? In the typical service organization, 30 to 40% of their budget is wasted. And this is with people working really hard, but doing things ineffectively and inefficiently. 30 to 40%, that's a huge number. That means if you have 10 people in your organization, three or four of them in total are doing things that are waste. And if you can begin to eliminate that waste, you could improve your productivity by 30 or 40 or 50%. It's a number that's so large that people begin to shake their head and say, no, that's not possible. But Bill and I can tell you, we've seen it work in many service organizations. We've seen good organizations turn into great organizations by turning their attention to process improvement. So we're ready to take any questions. Bill, what would you like to add?
Well, I'm reflecting on many, many years of working with organizations, and even began in my earliest days of my career as an industrial engineer, as a so-called efficiency expert. So I guess it's in my genes, Peter, to be sensitive to things like that. But I'm thinking about all of these organizations here that we're working with that are all on limited budgets. Budget's tight. We say at Women's Resource Center, the budget's never enough. And Lita at Cambu and Tyson at HHA, the budget's never enough. So the notion that there's 30 to 40% that could be improved in productivity and service to their constituents, also in savings to the budget, that's a huge potential.
It really is. And if I've seen people who are working 10-hour days use process improvement so they get the same amount of work done in 8 hours. And so they can go home 2 hours sooner and have more time to spend with their family.
You know, there's one of the experiences with that. It isn't about an NGO, but it's with garbage collection in my community that they were paying these drivers by the hour to go out and pick up the trash and the recycle in the neighborhoods. It'd take 8-9 hours. Sometimes they had to go into overtime to get all the work done. Well, then they started paying them a flat rate and said, you know, we'll pay you X dollars for your daily route. And when you're finished, you can go home. Guess how long it took them to finish the routes then?
Less than eight hours.
So those opportunities are always there. When you were asking people to take 2 minutes of quiet time early on and jot down some of their thoughts about where there might be some waste or some opportunities in their organization, it occurred to me, Peter, that maybe there's a brave soul or two in this room. We know we're among friends and we can speak out openly. There might be a brave soul or two in there that would like to identify an issue or two and seek some advice from you on it. So let's open it up to the floor and see if somebody.
Or let's make it a little bit simpler. We won't ask to seek advice yet. We can do that later. If you would just be kind enough to identify a waste or two that you see in your organization.
You can raise your hand or you can unmute yourself and I'll recognize you when you unmute. Or you can all be just amazingly quiet. It's all good. Even Lucas is smiling at me and laughing at me. I can see you there.
So here's an easy one for you to think about. Think about the meetings you have in your organization. Is your the culture of your organization to start things on time? Or is the culture of your organization, I've worked with organizations, as have Bill, where a meeting is supposed to start at 10 a.m. and people say, well, our meeting is usually 10 or 15 minutes late. Well, some people show up at 10, 10:05, 10:10, 10:15. That's a huge waste of resources. And people are the most expensive resource that we have. So we won't ask you to talk about the waste you see in your organization right now. But
Ty has unmuted himself.
Did
you want to add something, Ty?
Yeah, I just thinking of one of these habits of Cambodian, like they think they don't really give the value of times, which you know, they waste a lot of time or something because of waiting.
Yes.
I just want to ask Peter, how can we really incorrect or make sure that our staff are really think about the importance of time or something, like they don't be late, you know, or something. I think many Cambodians, they waste a lot of time because of they are late to go to work, or they're late to go for a meeting or something. It's like become the habit already. Something
cultural.
Yeah. How can we change this culture or something? Like, you have any idea?
I think it's a matter of how punctual the organizer is. What make us being like that? Let's say if the meeting is at 8, if we get there at 8 and we get the meeting, then it get our habit to say, oh, if you come later than 8, then you're late for the meeting. But because of here in Cambodia, it's like meeting at 8, but actually you start at 10 or something like that. That make people like, I don't have to go early because it's not gonna start. Mm. My time by going earlier. So I think if we think like in one of our organizations, it's just my idea, because I don't have this sort of problem in my organization here or even with Southeast Asia Foundation, because we know that when we set the time, we will start it right away. So I think if we want to change them, we also change ourselves as well, how we set up the meeting to ensure that everyone would be on time, and we don't want to waste their time either. They come late because they don't want to waste their time. This is just my opinion. But yeah, I help other different ways than not time here.
Well, that's a good part of it. One of the things that Bill and I do, Tyson, is we put a value on it. So I do a quick calculation. Think how many meetings you have in your organization each year. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have 100 meetings. Maybe you're going to have 1,000 meetings. And how many people attend those meetings? Let's say 5 people attend each of those meetings. And we have 1,000 meetings a year. That's 5 people times 1,000. That's 5,000. And let's say our meetings tend to be 15 minutes late. That is 1,250 hours. That is half of a full-time person we're wasting. You know, most people say, oh, we start a few minutes late. It's no big deal. We'll just stay late. Well, when you're staying late, you're stealing. You're stealing time from your family. You know, I want people to be aware of what the waste is costing. So that's the first thing. Then how do we change a culture? Well, we identify how we want to change it, and then we put things in place to help us change it. So again, I was with one group that had, they would bring cookies or donuts to their meetings. And if you got there by the start of the meeting, you got a cookie or donut. And if you're late, you didn't get one. Is that a big deal? No, but you're reinforcing the right behavior. Again, I told you about this other group I was working with where we decided we were going to charge $1 if you were late. Again, it's just rewarding things. Another group I was working with, if someone was late, they had to sing. The singing was pretty bad too. But what we're trying to do is reward the correct behavior. I was with another group of engineers. They put a chart on the wall. And if you were late for a meeting, they put an X next to your name for everybody to see. Mm-hmm. So we're doing things to change the culture. And so let's say I work for you and then I'm late all the time. Then you're my boss. You need to sit down with me and talk to me one-on-one and say, Peter, what's going on? What's happening? And counsel me or coach me so that I can do what the group needs to have done. So we don't want to punish people. We want to reward people for doing the right thing and maybe have some fun with it too.
You're reminding me of our mutual experience in Indonesia many years ago, where if a meeting was at 9, we were lucky to get them to show up before 10. And they even had a cultural expression called jam karet, was the word in Indonesia, which literally translates into rubber time. Everything happened jam karet. You remember that?
Yes.
And you probably remember that Pak Mastra, used to tell them, we're going to start this on time. We're going to run on Western time.
Yes.
And so he would call his meetings on Western time. Mm-hmm. And it was a friendly way to make a point.
Yes. So Bill and I really encourage you to have the meeting we talked about. Get your staff together. Talk about what the wastes are, and then pick one and resolve it, then pick another one and resolve it, and make continuous improvement part of your culture. Again, Toyota's been doing it for 70 years, and they're so good that every other automotive manufacturer in the world has adopted, it's called the Toyota Production System, which is all about continuous process improvement. And it's gone beyond automotive to virtually every manufacturing organization in the world. And now we're seeing hospitals apply it and use the process very, very effectively. So we know that it works in your organization. And what Bill and I are trying to do tonight is try to convince you to give it a try and see how you can help your organization improve through continuous process improvement. There you go, Bill.
Well, we'll keep the floor open for a couple more minutes if there's some questions or some comments that anyone would like to add.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
So when you're having these meetings, do you recommend maybe sending this idea and those questions beforehand so that it gives the staff some time to think about what they want to change, or do you just encourage them all to brainstorm together?
So I always encourage giving people advance notice what we're going to be doing. Some people like to have time to think about it in advance. Other people don't care about that. So yeah, if you're going to use the PowerPoint, send them the PowerPoint, tell them the agenda, tell them what you're going to ask them to do in the meeting. Tell them it's going to be confidential. You're not going to say, you know, Peter said this on his post-it note. You're just going to take the post-it notes and put them on the board. Yeah, give people advance warning.
Nadi, does that answer your concern? Whoops, I think we lost Nadi. I know the internet can be
a little bit. Picture froze.
problematic. And Ariel's got his hand up. There you are.
Can you hear me?
Sure, yes, we can hear you and see you.
Great. I wanted to first make a comment. This time that you were talking about, this special kind of time that exists, was it in Malaysia, you said? The kind of like thing starting late. What was the name?
Yeah, that was in Indonesia.
Indonesia.
In Indonesia. I'm from Miami, and in Miami, people call it different things depending on where you're from. So typically, you can call it the same kind of thing, Caribbean time.
Yes.
But you know, Cuban people like to call it Cuban time. Haitians like to call it Haitian time. It's like if you call for a meeting at about 8 or 8:30. Everyone will start showing up sometime after 9. Everyone should be there sometime closer to 10.
Yes.
Well, and your next door, one of your next door neighbors calls it Thai time.
Totally. Yeah. Absolutely. So I think it's a warm climate thing, perhaps. Piggybacking on that, I want to ask, if you don't allow for flexibility, or if it's not necessarily helpful to allow a little bit of flexibility in these kinds of ways, with time management and this kind of stuff, what is a better way to allow for a little bit of flexibility that could be helpful to the organization? Because I think, knowing parameters and fitting certain parameters is good for productivity, for clarity, but I think flexibility is also good. So where does flexibility fit in all of this? So just out of curiosity.
I want people to always look at the work they're doing, agree on a way to do it, and then come together when they have better ideas for improving it and agree on the improvements. So we'll be continuously improving the way we're doing our work. But each time we agree we're going to do it a certain way, we do it that way. So the flexibility is going to be when people are looking at the work they're doing with an eye to improving it and then sharing it with their coworkers.
One of the issues, Ariel, that I've encountered along the lines of what you're asking about is it can get personal if it's not done carefully. It's like, you mean you want me to do it the way, just the way you do it? I'm supposed to do it your way now, Ariel? What makes you so smart? And well, right away, that whole conversation went downhill. And if we can raise that to a higher level, that it's not about you and it's not about me, it's about those kids at Jaywalk's taking care of and teaching. And so the reason we're having this conversation is so that we can offer a better education opportunity to those kids, or we can offer a better training in soft skills to these kids, and we can have better case examples for the kids that we're serving. And so it's often one of the wisdoms from Native American culture is serve the highest possible purpose. So do this for an important reason that is not one that we're going to likely argue about. That helps.
If we look at primary school teaching mathematics over the past 25 years, there have been, at least in America, there's some dramatic changes in how teachers are teaching math in third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade. I mean, there are many different ways to teach math. But what school districts have done is they've gotten their teachers together and said, here are a bunch of different ways to teach math. Which way are we going to do it? And then they all agree on the way they're going to do it and then assess how well it's working, see if they need to adjust it at all moving into the future. It just helps the organization be more effective. Plus, Ariel, if I'm a substitute teacher for you and I teach math a completely different way than you do, what have I done to the students? I've just confused them. And I've wasted that class time. And now you're going to have to come back in and undo the bad work that I did to get the students back on the track the way you want to do it. And think about if you're counseling people in your organization, you have an intake process. How do I get into your NGO? How do I get into counseling? And then once we're in the room counseling, different counselors often have different approaches they use. But what we want to agree on is the goal we have for counseling, what we want to accomplish, how many sessions, and things like that.
Thank you, Ariel, for the question. You prompted some good conversation here. And I see Lita has her hands up. And Lita, question?
Yes, Bill. Thank you. I have the same question to Ariel regarding to the flexibility and the wasting time. For example, I saw one point of Peter showing about different technical various using, like everyone like to do what they think that is right to do. They don't want to follow from their line managers or their team too much. So do you think it's wasting time if they getting wrong at the end? But actually they have a good purpose to reach the goal faster, to make it more easier. So do you think it's wasting time for manager to do the counseling every time again and again to follow the manager ideas and strategy? And one more thing regarding to the trust. Do you think we keep trust and we think about wasting time at the same time, or can we split it? How can we split it regarding to that point? For example, the new staff coming and then we keep coaching them every time, and then people just coming and say that you waste a lot of time because your time is more than coaching the new staff. So what can we identify the waste time and the value of the result?
Okay. I don't want the manager to decide on the best way to do it. I want to have the people doing the job decide on the best way to do it, because we'll call them the experts. And if I have five counselors working for me and they're doing it every day, I might be a counselor too as their boss, but I'm going to go to them and ask them to identify the best method where we need to do things the same. And then we're going to agree to do things the same. Now, we know in Southeast Asia, there's a lot of respect for authority, and sometimes people are hesitant to suggest their ideas. So that's one of the reasons Bill and I are saying, get people together, have them put their ideas on post-it notes so everyone can see the ideas, so I don't have to put up my hand and say it out loud. And then get the experts, the people doing the work, get the experts together to discuss how they can eliminate inefficiency and waste from the way they're doing their job. And the trust part, we don't do trust. We know that. Trust is a result of many of the other things that we're doing. So I create trust by trying to be transparent, meaning I let people know what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and then to follow through, and also to be open for suggestions where I might do things better.
Yes. Thank you, Peter.
You're welcome.
Is that addressing the concerns that you had sufficiently, Lita?
Yes. I'm trying to improve all the communication. Yes. So I have put like some. Maybe the process and the procedures, and then we can see the end of the result together.
Yeah, yes. You remember some time ago, we had a fellow here, Richard Wilkinson, came and talked about some ideas on leadership. And later, Randy Cairn was also here talking about leadership issues. And both of them touched on something that's terribly important. And they both use the same term, psychological safety, that's one of the responsibilities of a leader is to create that environment within the organization where people feel safe.
Yes.
To speak their mind, to make a mistake, to have an opinion, to make a suggestion, and that it'll be received warmly and friendly and is welcomed. And in that environment of safety, which in some respects, as Peter touched on it, having grown up in a Western culture, but having worked in the East for more than 15 years now, I get a sense for the differences and the hierarchy of respect that exists within your culture is different than that hierarchy of respect that exists in my culture. It's just different. Yeah. It's not better. It's not worse. It's just different. And but one characteristic of that culture, that respect for hierarchy based on position and age and length of service and male, female, and lots of different criteria, is the reluctance to speak out. And so I think what Peter is suggesting here is really, really important. And it's a little more difficult to do in your culture than it is in others. In fact, that just causes me to wonder, Peter, that must have been an issue in Japan with Toyota also.
Well, for them, it was a question of survival. They were doing this after the Second World War, and you know, their factories were destroyed, and they're trying to come back, and they were taught that process improvement was a way that could help them become very, very successful. And they engaged employees. The way they involved employees in Japan, they were called quality circles. And they got Japanese managers got groups of employees together, answering the questions that Bill and I are suggesting you ask your employees. And the employees saw that their managers listened and that it worked. And then the rest is really history.
Well, I think you hit on something really important there, Peter, when you said they did it for survival.
Yes.
They didn't do it because this guy's smarter than that guy and to set up any kind of an internal competition or friction or discontent. They did it for a higher purpose, which survival is a pretty high purpose.
Yes, it is.
And we would encourage you to have this conversation with your groups in terms of it's not just about getting better. It's not just about eliminating waste, but it's doing those things so that you can do a better job of educating the kids or keeping the women safe or teaching the families how to grow better gardens or whatever it is that your mission is. It enables you to do your mission more effectively and more thoroughly. That's why you want to have this continuous improvement.
Exactly.
So couched, I think, couched in terms of the higher purpose, what's the purpose being served by this, is probably the gateway to opening up some pretty good conversations.
I agree.
Well, Peter, thank you for getting us all thinking about this important topic.
You're welcome.
Someday when you and I are able to get back to Cambodia, I bet I could even twist your arm and get you to do a little longer workshop on something like this so that we could work on some case examples and get our teeth into this.
Bill and I have a two-day workshop that we would love to do.
we'll find the time and the place.
Yes, we will.
I see Makara from ABC joined us, and he's even got his thumb up. So you heard a little bit, Makara. I hope it was enough to whet your appetite here.
Thank you, Bill.
You're most welcome. Last call. Anybody want to raise a hand before we move on?
I raised my hand. Yeah.
Okay.
What would you like to say, Pise?
Yeah, just want to express this great topic. However, I still communicate. However, I am a little bit silent. But it's time to think. It's a process when all the four questions that Peter asked.
Mm-hmm.
At what time? Sometimes I really don't know which one is what kind of waste. So it's good for a reflection on myself and all of my whole organization and how to improve. I don't have anything to share yet for today, but it's a good process to think, to identify and define what is internally need to improve.
Well, we just heard Peter. You just heard Peter say he's got a 2-day workshop for this kind of process. So you got 30 minutes worth of it. And if in that 30 minutes we got you thinking, then the mission was accomplished. But in your case, you've got a staff of 8 or 9 key people there. And what if you had the conversation with them and saying, yeah, just listen to Peter and he talked about waste. And let me show you a couple of his PowerPoints, what he was talking about. And gosh, we're all stretched so thin trying to serve these 75 or more women that we're counseling and coaching at Women's Resource Center. Just thinking about the stuff that Peter was talking about, what might we do so that we could better serve those women? You might have an interesting hour or two conversation. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.